Okay, good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are also going to be connected to the parasha in Shemot, the first parasha, Sefer Shemot. We're learning about the subject of preparation and the greatness that it leads to. Hachana, as the Pasuk says, Vatakom Be'od Laila. The great person is prepared in all scenarios of life. So let's start the first Pasuk in the parasha. Ve'ele Shemot Bnei Yisrael. And these are the names of the sons of Yaakov, whose name is Israel. Habbaim Mitzrayma, that were coming to Mitzrayim. Et Yaakov, with Yaakov, like the Targum says, Im Yaakov. Ish ubeto ba'u. Each one came with his family. What does this pasuk have to do with hachana, with preparation? As we will soon see, not only does it have to do with preparation, it may be the most important preparation that we've spoken about. In this pasuk, there are a number of details about Am Yisrael's journey into Egypt. As you may have heard, Egypt, Mitzrayim, is a place of immorality on a very high level. An example of that. We find in Parashat Lech Lecha, just to show you how low Egyptian society was. The pasuk says, "Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz." In the time of Avraham Avinu, there was a hunger, and Avraham went down to Mitzrayim, lagur sham, to live there. No choice, no food where he was. Ki chaved ha'ra'av ba'aretz. He would only live there because where he was, it was very heavy. The famine was very heavy. Torah is telling us, Abraham would never go there. But there was no choice because it was very heavy. He had to survive. Sometimes in life, for survival, you end up in dangerous places. The pasuk says, Vayhi. And it was. Ka'asher hikriv lavo Mitzrayma, when he was getting close to come into Egypt. Vayomer el Sarai ishto. He told his wife Sarah, Hinena yadati. I am aware. Ki isha yefat mar'e'at. That you are a beautiful woman. Vehaya, and it will be. Ki yiru otach ha-mitzrim, when the Egyptians will see you. Ve'ameru ishtozot, and they will say, this is this man's wife. Veharegu oti ve'otach yehayu. They will kill me and they will keep you alive. You understand that this is a very unusual behavior. This does not happen in the most immoral places. That somebody comes with a beautiful woman, and the norm of the place is that if a person comes with a beautiful woman, you kill the husband and you take the woman. That's murder, and you're taking a woman by force. That is the nature of Egyptian society. A man comes with a beautiful woman, that's called the death sentence. He's done. And we take his wife. Vayhi, the Pasuk continues to share with us what happened. And it was Kevo Avram Mitzrayma. Not when he settled there, not when he got an apartment, not when he got a job, not a year later, 6 months. Vayhi Kevo Avram Mitzrayma. The minute he stepped foot in Mitzrayim, the Pasuk Torah tell you something. How immoral this place was. The minute he stepped foot in the land of Egypt, Vayir'u ha-Mitzrim et ha-Isha. Indeed, as expected, the Egyptians are looking for this woman. And they saw, and indeed, ki yafahi me'od. They had a certain standard, I guess, of how they measured beauty and who it's for. So when they saw that she was yafa me'od, very beautiful, vayir'u ota sare par'o. Par'o had all types of ministers that were out there looking for him, for any good merchandise. So they saw this very beautiful woman, vayhalelu ota el par'o. A man comes with his wife from out of town, and the whole place is going wild. They go to Par'o, they tell him, this is for you. This is top of the line goods. But tukah ha'isha be Par'o, and they grabbed her and they took her to Par'o. Regular forced abduction. This is the society what they're talking about. An innocent man comes with his wife, he's dead, and they grab her. Of course, they didn't kill him because he said, she's my sister. Saved his life. And the Pasuk says that as a result of this terrible act, such a low act, we put ourselves in that scene, in that picture, we can't imagine. We're not living in a very pure society, but we're nowhere. The Pasuk says, Vaynaga Adonai et Par'o. As a result of this very low behavior, Hashem sent afflictions to Par'o. Nega'im gedolim. Very painful and very big afflictions. Ve'et beto, with his home, with his people. Al devar sarai eshet Avram. For what he did, such a low act. You abduct a woman from out of town. Listen to what happened. Vayikra Par'o le'Avram. So you think Par'o, after he gets afflicted because of what he did, he's going to call Avraham and say, I'm sorry. Or maybe he'll tell Sarah, I'm sorry. Mechila. He calls Avram and he says to him, Vayomer, ma zot asita li. What have you done to me? You hear what's going on? What have you done to me? He knows exactly why Abraham said She's my sister. He knows very well. He knows the rules of Egypt. But like the way of Rasha'im, they're never at fault. Ma zot asitali. What did you do to me? He forgot that he abducted a woman. He forgot that the Egyptians live with such principles of killing a husband for a wife. So he points fingers at him and he says, what did you do to me? Lama lo higata li ki ishtecha hi? Why didn't you tell me she's my wife? He's so innocent. When you read it, it sounds so innocent. You almost feel bad for him. That's the way of the Torah. Sometimes if you don't read, you don't understand, put yourself in the story. The biggest Rasha'im seem like the most compassionate people. Why did you tell me she's your wife? And by the way, if she's my sister, you're allowed to abduct her? You're allowed to just take a woman because she's my sister? Lama amarta achoti. Why did you say it's all your fault? Why did you say she's my sister? Va'ekach ota l'leisha. Innocent man. Obviously not so innocent. But because of the afflictions, again, he doesn't take responsibility. But he wants out. He doesn't want to suffer. He says, take your wife and go. Hine ishtecha kach valech. Rashi over here is bothered because a similar story happened with Pelishtim, with Abimelech. And over there, in that story, when things unravel and they realize that they did something wrong, Abimelech told Abraham, Hine arsi lefanecha. Pasuk says, here's my land, the land of Pelishtim. It is before you. Batov be'enecha shev. Wherever you feel comfortable, whichever neighborhood you like, it's all yours. Fadal. So when he returned, his wife Sarah, Avimelech, was we'll call him a kind host. Gracious, sit and live wherever you like. Par'o told him, Hine ishtecha, here's your wife, kah, take her back, v'lech, go. Get out of here. How come Par'o told him, get out, and Abimelech told him, take and live wherever you want. Comes Rashi, Alav HaShalom, and says, Torah is telling us for a reason. This was not just a conversation piece. Torah is reporting it. That means it wants to tell us something. Ela amar lo. He told him, Lech ve'al ta'amod. Go, do not stand here another minute. Go. He says to Abraham, the Egyptians are not just immoral, but they are defined by immorality. They are the epitome of immorality. And therefore, basically, I cannot take responsibility. Even Par'o cannot take responsibility on his people if this woman is still here. That's how low of a society, you talk about Egyptian society and we say it's a low, you have to understand how low they were. That a woman, a married woman, cannot exist in Egypt without getting taken away. And even Par'o, the king, cannot control them. He tells him, Kah Valech, go. Vaitzav alav paro anashim, even to leave. He needed, Rashi says, al odotav leshalecho ulshomro. Just to leave, to get from the palace, out of the country. He needed people to watch him, to guard him. Unbelievable. Vaishalehu oto, says Rashi ketargumo ve'alviu. They were melavehim. They needed an escort. You have a little glimpse of the low, deprived society of Egypt. And by Yosef's time, it's even worse. And now, Yaakov Avinu and his family is going to live in this terrible Tameh society. What does he do when he is on his way to such a place? In life, a person sometimes needs to be in places that are not conducive to his spiritual success and not conducive to his family's spiritual success. A person could end up in places that could be very damaging to himself and to others, spiritually, emotionally. What does Yaakov Avinu do? In order to prepare his family that they could live in such a low place and be able to hold on. So the Pasuk says that this was a unique opportunity. Habba'im Mitzrayma. Which means, unlike certain life situations where you're stuck somewhere, in this case, Yaakov Avinu took advantage of the fact that he was planning to go then. And when you're planning to go somewhere, you have a tremendous responsibility. When you plan to go somewhere that isn't so safe for you and your children, if Hashem gave you the ability to go there with intent, that means He's telling you, you have a responsibility to make preparation. Otherwise, you would have just been there without even been able to prepare. One more time, I make that clear. If Hashem puts you in this situation and there's no preparation possible because you were just there without planning, you just ended up there, so then you gotta step up. You know who did that? The Pasuk says, after the Pasuk talks about Shemot Bene Yisrael Abaim Mitzrayma, after the Pasuk talks about Bene Yisrael that were coming to Egypt, when you're going to such a deprived place, so you gotta prepare. It's your responsibility. That's why you were given the ability to know that you're going there. So how did they go? So the Pasuk says, Three things. When you are going somewhere dangerous, you need three things. Number one, Bnei Yisrael. Which means you don't go down yourself. You go with people like you. The more alone a person is, the more he is going to find it difficult to fight the challenges of the place he's in. You put yourself alone somewhere that isn't fit for you to be there, you're asking for failure. There are people who fail and look at the failure as the failure. But in reality, their failure was they didn't properly prepare. So number one is Bnei Yisrael, which means we're going down together. If we're together, if I'm somewhere, if I'm living somewhere, if I'm visiting somewhere, I have to be somewhere. And I can go together with a few people like me. That's called preparation. I'm preparing myself and my children that they should be protected, even though I'm in Egypt. I can be in the middle of Egypt, but if I come there with like-minded people, Hashem made this world in a way that when you're with like-minded people, you are protected. When you're by yourself, it's extremely dangerous. That's one preparation. Find common people who share values like you. That's what the Mishnah says. Ukne lecha haver. In life, you need a good friend. One of the reasons you need a good friend is because in life you're going to find yourself in difficult places, in difficult situations. And if you have a good friend, if you have people with you, it strengthens you and gives you the ability to live according to your standards. When you are by yourself, it's very difficult. We must be aware of the weaknesses of mankind. Humans alone are weak. It doesn't matter how great you are. By yourself, you have a hard time standing up to your values. Even if you want to. Being alone is very challenging. And therefore, one of the preparations that a person can make in their life is to surround themselves with good people. When you surround yourself with good people, you're protecting yourself and your children and your family. As I'll say, if you have to buy one, go buy one. Go buy a good friend. What does it mean to go buy one? It means you have to look around and find the right people and you have to invest in that relationship. Who says he wants to be your friend? He doesn't know you. He's going to go become his friend. Hazal say, yeah. Find the right people and do what you need to do. Invest by calling them. Invest by buying them a gift for the holiday. Invest by sending them a beautiful mishloach manot. Whatever you got to do. You find good people in your city, find a way to connect to them. Because when you and your family are surrounded by such people, you are protected. That's one hachana in life. One of the greatest things that a family could do, a father and mother can do, is surround themselves and therefore their children with the right people. It's an investment, not only in growth, it's an investment in protection. When your circles are the right circles, you are automatically protected. Bnei Yisrael. That's preparation number one. Preparation number two is Et Yaakov. You go with the Yaakov. find a mentor. Find what the Mishnah calls in Perkei Avot, Aseh Lecha Rav. Make for yourself a rabbi. Make for yourself. Even if you're a rabbi, make me a rabbi. Have someone above you. Have someone guiding you. Not someone who works for you. Someone that you are going to be under him. Aseh Lecha Rav. Why does it say the word lecha, make for yourself? What does that mean, make for yourself? It means that this rabbi has to be et Yaakov with you. Your rabbi can't be someone who lives out of town, even if he lives in the most holy places. Aseh lecha means find someone who's close to you. Find someone who sees you. Find someone who's willing to tell you something. How do you do that in today's world? Not so easy. No rabbi's going to come and tell you something. Charlie, no one's going to tell you anything. They're going to tell you you're a big tzaddik. Mafi mitlat. No one like you. Since Adam HaRishon, there hasn't been someone like you. What's the purpose of having someone guide you if he doesn't have the ability to say anything to you? That's why in our time, it's a good idea to go to the person and say, I want to tell you, I just want you to be open with me. If you see something that I could be better at, something I could fix, I want you to know, I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from everybody, I want to hear from you. Don't tell your wife that. But tell someone that you respect. Aseh lecha rav. You protect yourself when you have someone who's watching over you. Because in life, you get lost without realizing. It's not like you plan to get lost. You just get lost. One wrong decision, one relationship, one trip, one business deal, one whatever. All of a sudden, you don't know where you find yourself. We've seen. Anybody here above the age of 20 has seen where people have started somewhere, ended up somewhere else, without even realizing. Aseh lecha rav, have somebody that's able to see and guide you. You surround yourself with such a person, you're investing in yourself and in your future. Besides, when your children see that you have somebody above you, they will make you above them. You have to know that. When your children, when a child sees that his father is under somebody, which means he listens, he wants to hear from someone above him, that is a tremendous, powerful example of what it means to defer to someone above you. Such an example gives your children the ability to put you above them. Aseh lecha rav is not just an investment in a relationship with a rabbi. It's the building blocks of your family. You want to be able to guide your children. You want to be able to tell them, not every second, but there are sometimes things that are important and you want to be able to get through to them. But by nature, children don't like to listen to their parents. But when they see their father, who they respect, every child respects their father and mother and has them on a pedestal until a certain age. When they see that this man who they consider like top, he's asking questions, that in itself is the most powerful example you can give your children. When you have an Et Yaakov, when you have a Yaakov in your life, in your midst, your children know who that rabbi is. You know how they know? Because when they ask a question, you say, no, I got to ask the rabbi. You don't have to say his name. If you have to say your rabbi's name, you don't have a rabbi. If you have to say, I'm going to go ask. Yes, Rabbi Cohen. You don't have a rabbi. You have to be able to say the rabbi, and everyone has to know what that is. That figure in their life, in your life, changes everything. It makes them more humble. It makes them more understanding. It makes them more respectful. Once in a while, something comes up on the table. You could do it even, so to speak, as a made up. Child asks a question. Somebody asks a question at the table. You know the answer. Say, that's a great question. I don't know. I'm going to ask the rabbi tomorrow. A five-year-old hears his father say, I don't know. I'm going to ask the rabbi tomorrow. Not only about a halakha, if I'm allowed to do this on Shabbat. Something came up in life. Not sure. Should we buy the house? Should we move to a different neighborhood? Should we go on that trip? Should we take off from school extra few days? I don't know, whatever it is. Just a life thing. Doesn't have to be a, is the meat kosher? Say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to ask the rabbi. Wow, what a powerful thing you just told your children. You have no idea how far that statement goes. And besides that, once a person has such a person in their life, besides that he's guiding them, besides that it humbles him and humbles his children, there's a sheriff in town. You know what would happen if there were no more policemen in New York City? Might be happening soon.
Yeah,
well, I'll tell you what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that when you look around society and you see people who are respecting each other's property and respecting each other physically, and they're not beating each other up and they're not killing each other and they're not robbing each other, look around, go outside in the street, you'll see a very, very well-behaved society. Red light, people are stopping. People are walking, saying good morning. Nobody's punching each other in the streets. When you go outside in the street, you're going to see the most well-behaved society. People don't even know each other. They're respectful of each other, of their properties, of their body, of everything. Beautiful. Hachamim come and say, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. What you see with your eyes is misleading. Hachamim say like this. That the only reason why they look that way is because there is a fear of the government. There's a fear of the police. There's a fear of going to jail. There's a fear of being embarrassed in the newspaper. That fear of government and all that it comes with makes people think twice about everything that they do. So even though they want to say things, they won't say it. They want to do something, they won't do it. In fact, the words of Hazal are as follows. They went to a very extreme way of expressing this. They said, if not for the government and fear of government, people would swallow each other alive. Meaning that humans in their nature are capable of the most ugly behavior. When we go outside, we don't see that. But Hachamim say, don't be misled. Those people outside, they're capable of that. But they have government. They have fear. Thank God for that. That's why we pray for the government. Even if it's not an awesome government. Because at least it's a government. Because with no government, we're all in trouble. A bad government is better than no government. So we pray for that government too. In the story, I don't remember all the details, but the Ben Ish Hai brings a story, or a mashal. One time they had these birds, an abundance of birds, certain types of birds that were eating some of the crop. So you have farmers that had endless amount of acres of crop. They're working all year to get the crop. And these birds, we usually have a few birds, but that year they had a makah, they had a plague. They were 20, 30 times the amount of the normal year. So if normally they have a 1% loss, this year they have a huge loss. 20, 30% of their crop is being eaten by the birds. The people were going wild. They're working so hard and the birds come and eat all the produce. So they went to the king. They said, Melech, we need your help. We gotta have a solution here. He met his advisors. What? They decided the only way is they gotta kill these birds. We gotta wipe them out. Now, how are they gonna wipe them out? So they made a... We'll call it a, what do you call it? When they give someone an award, what do you call that? You give someone an award for doing something. They made a proclamation that anyone who would come to the king with a dead bird or his people would get paid $1. You come with 100 birds, $100. 1,000 birds, $1,000. So they gave them incentive to go hunt the birds. Okay, very easy. There are millions of these birds. So anyone in the country is going and killing the birds. Is coming to the king. After a month or so, they saw not one of these birds stayed alive. Why would it stay alive if they want to make money? Everyone was very happy. They made a parade. They thanked the king for his benevolence, for his kindness, for his wisdom. Get rid of all the birds. A week or two later, there were no more crops. Gone. They went from 30% to zero. Didn't understand what happened. People were going crazy. When the birds were eating our crops, we were losing 20, 25%. We got rid of all the birds. We lost the entire produce. Nothing left. Zero. When they studied the situation, they realized that the birds, besides eating the crop, they also ate the bugs. And the bugs, if they're around, they are more destructive than the birds. So you got rid of the birds to save your 25%, but you left all the bugs and ate everything. You need the birds to eat the bugs. Says the Ben Ish Hai, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Mishnah is saying, excuse me, pray for your government. Ah, you'll tell me my government, their biggest hushos. They steal, they're socialists, they're communist. I'm gonna pray for them. You understand what they're doing to us? Says the Mishnah, pray for your government. Because you're right, they might be doing things wrong, but at least they keep people in check. They keep the little people in check. But if you got rid of them, you have a much bigger problem. So when you have an authority, it makes everyone well behaved. And this is the story of having a rabbi in your family. It makes everyone better behaved. Because there's somebody that you have reverence to. There's someone you're thinking about before you do something. Before you make a move, you're worried he's going to tell you something so you don't make the move to begin with. That's all one of the things that I try to impress upon a newly married couple. Hatan and Kala. To have a rabbi they both agree to. A rabbi that they will go to whenever they have a dispute that they can't solve themselves. Have a rabbi. Sometimes in a marriage you have a... There's nowhere to go. So in those situations, have a rabbi that you agree to that you'll ask what we should do. You would think that this rabbi is going to be very busy because he took on this couple and that couple, 1,000 couples. But the reality is, when the couples take upon themselves such a person, they hardly ever go to him. It's only the people who didn't take on the rabbi. That's who's keeping him busy.
Yeah.
But the people who took on the rabbi, they don't call him. You know why they don't call him? Because most times when people have a conflict, one of the sides is clearly off. But they're not able to be aware or admit because of their ego or their whatever it is. But once they know they have to bring their case to the rabbi, they get smarter. They realize, oh, that's silly. What, are you really going to bring that in front of the rabbi? You're going to ask him such a silly question? So it makes you think better. And you don't even get to the problem. It's Yaakov. You have a Yaakov with you? You have a Yaakov with you and your family? This is your insurance policy. For you and your family. You could be in Egypt, but if you have Yaakov with you, you're good. You're protected. That's the preparation. So far we have two. Bnei Yisrael, have people with you. Et Yaakov. Have a Yaakov, have somebody that's going to be a figure in your family, in your life.
Guy standing right here.
Ish ubeto ba'u. Family. Family protects a person. A person who's going somewhere alone. It's dangerous. I know people that they've taken upon themselves. They don't sleep out without their wife. It's a protection. For some, it's not possible. So they make sure they don't sleep out more than 2 nights. Depending on the person. There are people who will never go away. Shabbat. Will never be alone. They'll say, ah, me, come on. Ah, stop it already. Stop. You think I'm such a... You think I'm Egyptian? Ish ubeto. When a person has his wife... is in the environment, in the environment of marriage, there's protection. And when a person is alone, it's dangerous. That's how you come down to Egypt. That's how you go to a place that's not so healthy. You go with friends, like-minded people. You have a Yaakov. You have somebody who is an image that you and your family respect, and you stay as a family as much as humanly possible, because a family is protected. There are three things that protect a person in life: good friends, a good rabbi, and his family. If you go anywhere with such preparation, you can go into the most deprived, spiritually deprived place on planet Earth. If you have those three things, you're good. You're well prepared. Hachana, You must prepare in life for challenges ahead for you and your family. When you raise your little children, you must know the challenges ahead for them. You must know what they're going to have to deal with. And make sure you protect them by preparing this. If your home has this, you're good to go. Prepare ahead of time. Don't find yourself one day, what happened? You're not prepared. Notice, after the Pasuk tells us about the people that came down to Egypt well prepared, look what it says. They came down 70 souls. Vayhi kol nefesh yotzei yerech Yaakov shirei nefesh. 70 souls came down to Egypt. VeYosef haya beMitzrayim. And Yosef was already in Egypt. Why does the Pasuk now tell me that Yosef was already in Egypt? Listen to this unbelievable point in life. Yosef, did he come with friends to Egypt? No, Bnei Israel. Not one good friend he had. Did he have Yaakov with him in Egypt? Nope. No Yaakov for Yosef. Was he married? Did he have a family? No. Nope. None of the things that we just spoke about, Yosef had in Egypt. So how did he do it? I'll tell you how he did it. Because if Hashem puts somebody without protection, because they couldn't possibly protect themselves, then Hashem protects them. Don't think the protection is what's saving you. It's your effort that's saving you. So when you are going to set up your future and you're setting up what's coming ahead and you don't make your effort, that itself is hurting you. It's not the rabbi that's protecting you. It's not your friends that are protecting you. It's not your family that's protecting you. It's your hishtadlut. It's your effort that you care about the future and your preparation is what protects you. Because you put the effort, that's why you're protected. Ah, what about Yosef? You're going to ask me? He didn't have Bnei Yisrael. He didn't have Yaakov. He didn't have Yishuv Tovahu. So the rule must not be right. You just gave me a rule. To protect yourself in Egypt, you need these three things. But Yosef didn't have any of them. Has he protected? No. Yosef couldn't make the effort. He was stuck in Egypt. He couldn't possibly do anything about it. So then Hashem protects him. Hashem will protect you if you're in a place where you had no control of where you are and how you got there. But when you have the ability to prepare, and you don't prepare, then you will have no protection for the situation that you're in. It's not the rabbi protecting you. It's not the friend. It's not your wife that's protecting you. It's your effort that you're preparing. The hachana in itself, that preparation is what gives you the strength and gives you the siyata d'shmaya, preparation in the right way. Of course, you find yourself somewhere and you couldn't do anything about it. Don't worry. You're going to have Siat Adishmaya. And others will say, well, if Yosef did it, then I could do it. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. Yosef had no way of preparation. Sometimes people will say, my grandfather went to public school. He went to Lincoln High School. He was a big tzaddik. Came out great. You're right. You know why he came out great? Because he had no choice. And when you have no choice, you have a certain level of siyata d'shmaya. But you have a choice and you send your children to the same place, you don't have any siyata d'shmaya. You lost it. Because you didn't prepare him. You got to prepare him. Preparation is the beracha. That's where Siyata Deshmaya comes from. See ahead for you and your family and know what you need to do to protect them, because you will benefit tremendously as the years continue and see them flourish. You will benefit from that because of your investment of hachana. Bnei Yisrael, be with the right people. Make sure you have a Yaakov. And make sure you stay as a family. Ishu beto. Strengthen your family. The stronger your family, the more protected you are. Shabbat shalom.